Let us pray. Thank you for the life of John the Baptist. Thank you for his message. Help us prepare. Help us be watchful. Thank you for the light that has come into the world. Amen. Now, I wasn't sure that all you adults were actually listening then to the gospel reading, although Alan read it really beautifully. So I thought, children, I've got some questions for you, and perhaps you could let the adults sitting near you give them the answers, just in case they weren't listening. So my first question is, who actually sent John the Baptist? Was it A, Jesus? Was it God? Was it Herod? So, any answers? Anyone prepared to shout out what they think? Oh, come on, you must have been listening. Was it Jesus, was it God, or was it Herod who sent John the Baptist? It was God, thank you very much, well done, yes. Phew. So, second question, what does John say the light is? Did he say it is himself? Did he say it was the Jewish leaders, or did he say it was Jesus? It was Gina. Hey, we've got a superstar here. Yeah, excellent. Third question. Who did John say he was not? Was he not a locust, a prophet, or a fisherman? What was he not? He's not a prophet. He wasn't actually in the other things either, but there we are. Where was John crying from? Was it the River Jordan? The wilderness or Jerusalem? He was crying from the wilderness, it says it in the story. And then my last question, how many Jewish leaders came out and questioned John? Was it 35, 23 and a half, or 25? Any answers? 25 is the right answer. Thank you very much. I think I stand convicted that actually you were listening. So very well done. Now, some years ago, I was invited to an exhibition of the winner of the Turner Prize for Art. And this was ceramics. And this artist had created a series of plates, beautiful they were, and tableaus. And he titled the whole exhibition The Head of John the Baptist. And they were beautiful things, and so very 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 sort of wonderful and very creative. But I was quite, as a Christian, I was quite saddened because, see, John the Baptist is an important person in the Christian life. He's a pioneer. He's one of the first Christians, if you like. You know, he preceded Jesus. He was sent not just to proclaim, as we've heard, but also to baptize Jesus. He set the ball rolling. And as much as I appreciate this art, this wonderful Turner Prize winning art, and I did get this sort of irony of it all, I was slightly saddened by it because, you know, John is a brother, and I'll come back to that later. He's a brother in Christ. He's one of us. And any brother and sister in Christ should, well, all people, but he particularly should be treated with respect. And as much as I was sort of, I liked the art, I wasn't moved by it. And so there we are. You see, the calling of John the Baptist is really a pioneering one. And you have to understand it as well and contrast it with his later martyrdom. Anyone know what happened to John the Baptist? Anyone know the story? Herod had a party, and his sort of partner wanted John the Baptist dead because he criticised her. So the daughter got up and she was dancing, and it was so good that John the Baptist said, "I can give you anything you want." And he, of course, she asked for the head of John the Baptist on a plate, and it was brought to him. So it was a sad end to a wonderful ministry. And the point there is that you cannot understand John the Baptist's life without understanding his death. In the same way, you cannot understand the life of Jesus without understanding Jesus' death. And in the same way, you don't truly understand your own life unless you understand the suffering that you may be called to go through and your own death. That they're linked. Christian faith is not just about the glory of coming and knowing Christ, your Saviour, but experiencing the difficulty that life is, having the wherewithal to be able to cope with that and to then have an answer to what happens to us when we pass away. And that's the Christian message. That's the message that was born into the manger. You cannot understand the life of John the Baptist without understanding his martyrdom. And it leaves us with the fundamental Advent prayer. The fundamental Advent prayer is in one, summed up in one word, Maranatha. Anyone know what Maranatha means? Come, Lord Jesus. It means, and that's what Advent's about. It's about it's the prayer of Maranatha. You know, you can read about it in 1 Corinthians. And Advent also falls in the darkest time of the year. You know, the seasonal affect disorder, the dark nights. And so the natural symbols of darkness and light work powerfully through Advent and Christmas. Advent is symbolising these four candles. The four candles over there. And that we don't light them at once because Advent is unfolding. It unfolds. It's the light coming into the world. Prophecy. Revelation. Salvation. Coming again. It works like that, like lights being switched on across the landscape. It's not just you ping a switch and it all goes boom. It's an unfolding. It unfolds. John the Baptist puts it like this. I am not the light. I come to testify concerning the light, that through the light all might believe. I am not the light. I come only as witness to the light. So who is the light? Who's the light of the world? It's Jesus born into the manger. He's the light. And it's a very simple analogy. He's the light because he lights up the darkness of Advent. We should know better as Christians about the dark because we once were in the dark and now we've been saved from it. We're in the light. Through our own baptism, the baptism of Hector today, he has crossed the River Jordan. He's crossed from the wilderness into the promised land of right relationship with God. Baptism isn't something you do lightly, or it's something that is turning the light on in your life. It doesn't matter if you're an infant or an adult. If you're not baptized, please get baptized. Join an Alpha course, find out. I really do recommend it. Because if you're in darkness, you only know darkness. We're people of light. We can help those who are in darkness see the light. And what joy it is. And we don't need a big dramatic martyrdom, like our heads on a plate. You know, I hope that doesn't happen to you. But life is a slow martyrdom. St. Francis of Assisi said the really hard martyrdom is the everyday living of faith. It's not dramatic, but it's equally rewarded. So don't give up. And that takes me to my second point. No, let's be prepared and let's be watchful. Now, I know it's Christmas, aren't you? You're buying presents, you're buying, preparing food, you're putting up decorations, you're writing invitations, you know, you're writing cards. We need to do the same with our faith. We need to pray, we need to sing, we need to worship, we need to read the Bible, we need to share with friends, we need to share with those in need. We need to be prepared. We can't just sit still and expect it to happen to us. In the same way, we need to be watchful. We need to be watchful in our faith. You know, Jesus says, make sure there's oil in your lamp, ready to shine a light for the bridegroom, for when the bridegroom returns. If you find treasure in a field, grab yourself a spade and a shovel and a pick and a light and go and search for it. Advent therefore reminds us to be prepared and to be watchful, like shepherds watching their sheep for wolves, ticks, broken fences. I'm going to leave you with this point. John the Baptist. He's not the reason for the season, but he's, you know, let's not make that mistake. He is the reason for the reason for the season. You know, he's the pioneer. And he said himself that he was not worthy to even tie the feet of him to come. Let's not put ourselves as a church and as Christians above our calling, above what we're called to be. We're servants of Christ. We're not fit to tie his shoes. But the miraculous thing is that he will tie our shoes for us. He will tie it, and not just that, he will wash our feet. So preparation, expectation, annunciation, salvation, they're the themes of the day. And of course, baptism. And we welcome Hector and the family into the family of Christ. You know, and let's just use this Christmas to remind ourselves of the Maranatha, the come Lord Jesus, the Maranatha. Let's check our faith attitudes and our life towards ourselves and others. Amen. Come Lord Jesus.
We are going to respond by singing a hymn, after which Helen is going to lead us in our intercession prayer. If you're able, could you please stand as we sing On Jordan's Bank?